Since it's late now, I just want to briefly mention that what we have been doing, yes, thank you for putting this up, is in the last couple of months we have started to create a little group in the Medical University Vienna environment. Everyone who is interested in circadian rhythm research in a sort of biological rhythm and well-being lab summary, which we, by the way, dedicate to the memory of Erhard Haus. Those of us who work in this field know him very well. He was a Viennese who then migrated to the United States in the 1950s and has been super successful there. He was the eminent person to go to when it came to circadian research and chronotherapy as well. He unfortunately passed away in 2013, so we dedicate this lab to him, and we look forward to reinvigorating the tremendous amount of work that has been happened over time, including Professor Waldhauser, who started off today. And so I just want to say that we want to establish this more firmly, want to have a bigger group working with us and do more research in this field. And with the people we have here, we are confident that it will give a real impetus to this research in Vienna. And now, since we only have a few minutes left, I would still open up for a few questions to the audience. And I want to start with here in the room. If there are any questions while you're thinking, you can raise your hand if you have one. I can mention what was posted online, which I think is very interesting. A comment that actually already in the 1980s, Lippmann and Rogan from the University of Vienna, so we maybe have to add him to our list of historical persons of importance doing this research, showed that postmenopausal women with breast cancer had lower melatonin levels. So I will investigate this, and I thank the online person who posted this for the comment. I think it's very interesting. I wasn't aware of it. And then let me move now to the question. So Isabella, you raised your hand, please. I hear your response.
Kiriaki, maybe a stupid question, but you had this U-shape of reaction of people to the vaccination, meaning that they had high antibody titers in the morning when the vaccination was in the morning and in the evening, which might be that during night is the best time of vaccination. Did you consider that? Is there a possibility to find victims for vaccination during the night?
No, we did. We had no people vaccinated after 4 o'clock. So the latest time point we had was 4 p.m, which is not too late. I mean, so we could even get people vaccinated later if we did, let's say, a randomized control trial or something like this. So this would be possible. The good thing is we had people that were day workers, so at least they had intact circadian rhythms, so we can assume that for the majority of them, you know, they were tested at the same time, whereas the previous studies they had shift workers, for example. Now, vaccinating people in the middle of the night, I'm not sure why you think this would be beneficial, so I'm not entirely...
Still going upward.
Yeah. But I for the last part of it, the confidence intervals get quite wider. So I'm not sure how much we can say about how this would continue. So, and also I think this evening signal we got, I think we need to confirm this with some other data set. It's the first study that suggests this, and I'm not sure if this is how it looks like or this is just what we found in our data. So it's not described elsewhere. But for example, in the two previous studies that were conducted when we started working on this, one was a small, well-conducted clinical trial, a Chinese study. It was really well-controlled, and although it was small, it was an excellent conducted study. They were comparing morning to afternoon, and morning had stronger antibody levels and also cellular responses and the neutralizing antibodies and B-cell memory B-cells as well. The second study was the UK study that included employees, and this data set was really messy. People were assessed at different times, time points after their vaccination, and they were finding a small, really small difference that was higher in the evening, which was kind of in line with our like U-shape also finding a signal in the evening. But I wouldn't really trust this UK study. It was really large, but the data was not, it was very messy, and it was really difficult to tease out different vaccines, different groups, and the differences were not consistent across groups as well. So I would say we need more data before we conclude on this.
Hello, I have a question about the chronotherapy. Are there any like recommendations or advice you have for a general medicine practice, like from everyone that is knowledgeable about circadian rhythm, like apart from like the therapy for rheumatoid arthritis, and like using that, like applying it in the evening? Is there any other advice you would give for a general medicine practice?
Kiriki, please come also up. One thing that comes to my mind that is quite heavily investigated these days is hypertension, I think, because hypertension, you know, there's this non-dipping type of hypertension, there's clearly some circadian mechanisms involved, and it's possible that it is better to give the antihypertensive medication at a certain time of the day, most likely in the evening, but this is currently investigated. There's a recent report that has been devoted to this whole topic, and so this probably is major impact. But Kiriaki, please, if you come.
So, there are several good systematic reviews of the literature for the main endpoint. So the ones that Eva mentioned, so hypertension, for respiratory diseases, asthma, for rheumatoid arthritis that I mentioned, for hypercholesterolemia, for example, statins are recommended to be given in the evening. So I don't remember all the recommendations by heart, but I would advise there are a couple, two or three good reviews where they're summarizing the state of the art of the evidence. For some endpoints, we don't have enough studies. For others, we do. And so I would point you to those reviews and what is currently recommended based on what is known. But it's definitely a field where we and where we need to know more about, but I would direct you to those reviews. I can't remember by heart all the best times for each drug, but roughly I think the statins is another good example that was also based on early mechanistic circadian data, and
thanks very much.
Right, then maybe in between I can ask a question. I have a question for Johnny, please. You mentioned the Night Work and Breast Cancer Risk Association, but in my opening remarks on the circadian system, I also spoke about light pollution, and I just wanted to hear your thoughts on whether light pollution per se could be a cancer risk and what evidence there is.
Yeah, if you remember the Kenneth Wright study of the camping issue where such a small change in daily life had such a huge impact on the circadian system. I think that might also be an effect on our daily life air pollution, but I think the effect compared to the shift work might be very small and not really detectable in epidemiological studies because there are so many other factors you need to take into account in real life. So
like noise or other things, So difficult to study, but potentially interesting, right? All right, and then are there any more questions? All right, and then maybe let me go to Benedict first.
Okay, thank you very much. So I'm neither an expert in that field nor a night owl, but I just want to say thank the speakers and say that I really enjoyed staying up late and following all your presentations. So it was really interesting. And I have a question maybe to Professor Hansen or also to you, Eva. From my layman's perspective, it seems like that most of the studies linking light exposure, night shift work to cancer have been done in health professionals for very good and obvious reasons. So is this true? And if yes, have there been studies that controlled maybe exposures that are specific to those workers besides light? So for example, I would expect anyone working in a hospital is chronically exposed to very low levels of tons of different pharmaceutical drugs, maybe to plasticizers from all the plastic stuff you're handling on. So are there studies that are controlling that? And is my assumption or observation true?
Johnny, would you like to answer that, Johnny? I know you have done a wide range of employments, right?
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't catch the first question.
And just if my observation is correct, that most of the studies giving higher odds ratios have been performed in health professionals doing night shift work and not in factory workers
Yeah, that's true. In the beginning, it was almost only in health professionals, but that has been expanded also to ordinary industry workers in the latest studies. And they shows to some extent similar results. And they have been controlled, the most recent studies, for all potential carcinogens we could think about. But there could be others we don't know, of course.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yes, and then Kyriaki, or was there another question? Kyriaki also had raised her hand. I don't see any other persons at the moment, so then maybe let's make this the last question, and then we can all move to the buffet, which we're waiting for, and hopefully you can join us and talk more there.
I had a question for Professor Waldhauser. I was wondering, in the paper that you were looking at melatonin in children, you show the cutoff of 7 years. In the first two bars were below 7 and above 7. And I wonder whether this cutoff was predefined, like based on some a priori hypothesis, or was this just this threshold that you found that something changed in melatonin levels of the children?
Is the mic working?
Yeah, I think this was the first paper. We have a paper 2-3 years later, with about, I think, 350 children, patients, and adults. And in this paper, you see not a certain step. So it's more a continuous flow which goes down. And I think we have also data showing that the pineal probably works completely effective with 7 years, and then the body is growing, and you have the same amount of melatonin get into the body, but it's a much larger body. Therefore, the distribution is so that you have a huge volume where you put in the same amount of melatonin by the pineal. And this is probably one of the reasons why you get this more dramatic change with the growing individual till 20 or 25.
Thank you so very much, everyone here, all the speakers once more. Wonderful talks, wonderful and inspiring reports that we have heard. And I conclude this session today also for the online speakers. Thank you for staying with us. And we here have the privilege now to go to the buffet. Apologies that you can't do this online. And I conclude the session here with thank you.